I think that...
You want to go, Mark?
Okay. I think we need to look real quick at verse 8. This, I feel, is just as important that everything has been mentioned up to this according to Rich... Okay, well, it ties very closely into what we're saying about the riches of his grace. Because he made it abound. Not just once. He didn't just call us once. He didn't call us twice. How many times have we heard the gospel? He made it abound so that those who don't answer the call for the first time can still be saved.
All right, some of us are sitting here just overwhelmed at verse 4. How can we be holy and without blame before him in love? What a standard that is to live to. But we know that this is Paul. This is the man who admitted that he's the chiefest of all sinners. And he's writing to the people of Ephesus, telling them to be holy and without blame before him in love. And if this wasn't possible, this wouldn't be here. But we thank God, we praise God, because it is not we're not on this Christian walk by ourselves, but it's God the Father, it is God the Son, and God the Spirit who are daily sanctifying us, setting us aside for holy purposes. May we be holy for our Father in heaven's holy.
I think it's important to underscore that we are where we are because we are in Christ Jesus. The love of God and the heart and the affections that he has for us are first seen in the relationship and the love he has for the Lord Jesus. As a man who has accomplished all things, a man who pleased God in every way. So in the example that we had cited earlier with the prodigal is a son. And he returns, and he is a son because he is a son born into that household. The father's love does not wane because of our weakness or our failure. And so it is what Christ maintains before the eye of God that makes us accepted in the beloved. God the Father loves the Lord Jesus. He is the unique man that is set above all men. And because he has accomplished this work, young people, and we have to really hold this line, that the Father extends his love to us because he loves the Lord Jesus. And that's what makes us accepted, not in ourselves, because we could never be holy and blameless. But we are really made that in Christ because of that work. And now all of the blessings that belong to the Lord Jesus are ours. And Romans tells us this, right? That we are joint heirs with Christ. So that is why we have the thought of accepted in the beloved. The verse 7 is really not to bring up the thought of how bad we were. It is to bring up before us of the greatness of the Lord Jesus, that we have redemption, it says, through his blood, because it's what he has done. The forgiveness of sins, it's according to the riches of his grace. And I'd like to comment on the abounded towards us. It's really not the thought of because we didn't believe that he is giving us another chance. It is that the abundant grace and love of God has been extended to us in a magnanimous way, and it is because we are in Christ. And so the place, the position we have, young people, is not anything that we have to do, could do. It is simply because God the Father loves the Lord Jesus, and because he loves him, by extension, all that he has, we have. What a special group of believers we are. And that is what the Spirit of God wants us to understand. Someone mentioned the Apostle Paul. And the Apostle Paul, he said, look at me. I was one who was running around, zeal without knowledge, persecuting the church, and God saved him miraculously. And he gave unto this man who is now accepted in the beloved to be the one who was the minister of the secrets of the counsels of God. And he has left this book for us that we would appreciate the fact that we have now been brought into such divine favor. Where are we seated right now? In the heavenlies. How is that possible? It's because we're in Christ Jesus. All the blessings that are going to flow out and have and will, everything, We come into these wonderful things because we're attached to Him. And let us never forget, it is solely of the greatness of the grace of God towards us.
I think it helps us, underlining what Tony said, that this epistle is written to saints. This is written to those that are already saved. If we can see that, then we understand that verse 8 is a reference to something other than an additional opportunity. But I don't think verse 8 goes in particular with the verses that have gone before. I think verse 8 is a response to the verses that have gone before, wherein he has, isn't it lovely, the words of the King James. He's not just moved towards us. He has abounded toward us. Oh, what a place you and I have been brought into. Remember again, we're not servants. We're not here as those that are, in fact, in a lower place. We're here as sons. So if you'll remember in your mind, back when Abraham, a long time ago, was speaking to God about Sodom and Gomorrah, do you remember that God took him into favor? And he showed him what his will and his plans would be for that city. Well, I want you to think beyond that to the world that you and I are living in. We were reminded in the gospel meeting last night of how it is falling apart. Everywhere you look in the world, there is difficulty. It is a world that is headed to judgment. But don't be discouraged, dear believer. The Spirit of God here brings you and I into the circle of His favor and what He has in store for the world that we're living in. So let's read these together. Wherein He has abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence. Look at this. Having made known unto us. The world doesn't know this. You go out and talk to people on the street about this and they'll tell you, well, where did you get an idea like that? We have a president. We have prime ministers. We have people that are going to bring about good things in this world. Come back to your Bible. He has made known unto us the mystery of His will. It is no longer a mystery to the believer. It is not known to the world. We recognize that. But you and I come into this place of favor. He's made known unto us the mystery of His will. Not according to the bad condition of the world we live in. Not according to what Satan has done here. It's not what this verse says. Read Scripture for what it says. According to the good pleasure which He has purposed in Himself. My, think of what we're being brought into in this book. Remember again. It's not a book that was written because of problems in Ephesus at this time. The saints were on a spiritual level, if I could say that. They were walking with the Lord, and the Lord was free to open to them what His purposes and counsels were for this world.